Good morning. Good morning. We are convening the meeting of the Audits and Investigations Committee. Can I have a request for approval of the agenda, please, this morning?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. The action item this morning is the acceptance presentation and consideration of acceptance of the financial of the FY 2012 financial statement and audit deliverables. And I want to turn to our principal auditor, Michael Stevens, for that presentation. Thank you. And to our internal auditor, Colin Luke. Thank you.
Good morning.
Excuse me. You know what I did not do? I didn't approve the minutes in the last meeting.
Sure.
So let's do that before we go any further. And it's because I didn't have my gavel. If I'd had that, we would have done that right. But do I have a motion to accept the minutes of the last meeting?
Yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. Now, my apologies, Michael.
No problem. Good morning. My name is Mike Stevens. I'm a partner with Clifton Larson Allen. We've completed the audit of the financial statements of the authority for the year ended June 30th, 2012. I have a brief presentation to review with the committee to highlight certain aspects of the audit as we've completed it. First, I do want to highlight that you have a new auditor firm name on the report. Our firm had a merger this year. Changes nothing with respect to the audit process, the audit approach, but it did change the name on your report. The audit team was substantially the same as it had been in prior years, so we had an experienced team conducting the audit of the authority this year. Okay. With respect to the agenda, the items I want to cover include the audit approach, the audit results, the results of the separate single audit, and the required communications to the audit committee. Our audit approach includes an integrated approach. We do utilize a subcontractor on this engagement. The subcontractor staff works alongside of our firm staff with respect to conducting the audit. And the audit is really made up of multiple teams. Obviously, the audit team conducts the audit of the financial statements as a whole. We do utilize IT specialists because of the complexities of the IT systems here at the authority. Pension specialists because you have multiple pension plans here at the authority that whose activity does roll up into the financial statements of the authority, and the compliance specialist, which is the single audit, the federal fund testing that we're required to complete as part of the audit process. Our approach is risk-based, which means we identify the key internal control areas and identify the areas that are deemed to be higher risk than others within the financial statements. Our firm has always taken that risk-based approach. Within the last several years, it's now required by audit standards, so we are taking that risk-based approach. With respect to communication, communication was frequent, both formal and informal. We had weekly status meetings during the entire audit process, as well as more informal communications about respective issues and so on as they occurred with respect to completing the audit. The audit results, we've completed and issued are preparing to issue the financial statements. Those statements will reflect an unqualified opinion. Unqualified opinion is what the committee wants, in that it says the statements are fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. That opinion is consistent with prior years. In addition to the audit opinion report that we issue, we also issue reports on internal control over financial reporting and report on compliance with respect to the audit being performed in accordance with government auditing standards and the fact that the authority does receive federal funds as a part of their operations. With respect to the compliance audit, we are in the internal control audit under government auditing standards, we are required to assess internal controls. We are not opining on internal controls. We're merely identifying issues with respect to internal controls to the extent that they impact our audit of the financial statements. Through this testing, we identified two material weaknesses and two significant deficiencies. The material weaknesses include audit adjustments related to the jurisdictional subsidies and the actuarial calculation. Under risk assessment standards, auditing standards that we're required to comply with, if an audit adjustment is identified and required to be recorded to ensure that the financial statements are presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. That's deemed to be an internal control weakness because we as the auditor identified that adjustment as opposed to management. We did have those adjustments in those areas that I mentioned, and as such, we're identifying a material weakness in internal controls. The second material audit adjustment related to the completion of the schedule of expenditure of federal awards. There was some omissions of certain programs and grants that were we identified were missing. The schedule of federal awards did require adjustment, and as such, that's deemed to be a material weakness for the same reasons I identified with respect to the jurisdictional subsidy and actuarial adjustments. The significant deficiencies both related to information system deficiencies. The first comment relates to accessing change controls. Basically, what we look at is issues related to segregation of duties, how changes in the system are tracked, access to certain aspects of the system, and so on. We identified issues in the administrator accounts, contractor access, and development in certain issues with respect to development and production roles. So we're identifying that as a significant deficiency in our audit report with respect to those access controls. The second issue that was identified as a significant deficiency relates to the IFO conversion that took place this year, or this is the first effective year. Those issues related to documentation of user acceptance testing and certain reliances on the contractor for specific security and configuration functions. Basically, what we're saying is that the documentation and use of the contractor created certain internal control weaknesses that we identified and are detailed in our single audit report. In addition to the audit of the financial statements and the single audit performed, we also do are required to perform under FTA requirements certain other agreed upon procedures engagements. That includes the National Transportation Database. That work is in process of being completed. That work has a little bit later deadline than the financial statement requirements, and as such, that's in progress. We expect to conclude that work early next week. With respect to the findings that I previously reviewed, management has reviewed those findings and has responded accordingly, and those responses will be included in the single audit report. I did mention that there were two audit adjustments, as I mentioned in the discussion of the material weakness finding. Those audit adjustments related to jurisdictional receivables and actuarial calculations. I do want to highlight that the authority had new actuaries this year. Certain assumptions were made that weren't valid, and that resulted in an adjustment to the actuarial report. That flowed through to the financial statements and required an audit adjustment. There was one unrecorded past adjustment in the current year related to capital contributions. What a past adjustment is we've identified an error. It does not rise to the level of requiring adjustment from a materiality standpoint for the statements to be fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, and therefore we recorded it as a past adjustment. In theory, if you have enough past adjustments that trip over that materiality threshold, it would require an adjustment. We did not have that in the case of the authority. There was only one past adjustment. And as I previously mentioned, the agreed upon procedures is in progress, and as I said, we're expecting to issue that early next week. The single audit report I alluded to previously, as I mentioned before, we issued two reports on that, a report on internal control and a report on compliance. Again, I want to emphasize we are not opining on the internal controls of the authority. We're only performing certain tests of internal controls to determine the extent that we have to test the numbers. We test four major programs this year with respect to the single audit. The four programs identified, you see in the slide number 11, DOT, Rail and Transit Security, PREA, and Homeland Security. The OMB has a calculation we're required to follow with respect to the coverage of certain programs. That's on a rotation or cyclical basis. Those four programs are the result of the expenditures in the current year and in relation to programs as they've been tested the prior 3 years or 2 years. With those four programs tested, I do believe we covered probably almost 90% of the federal funds awarded or expended in the current year. We did have one finding related to compliance. The compliance is separate and apart from the internal control findings identified. We had one contract out of the sample of contracts tested that did not follow federal procurement compliance requirements with respect to the issue of open competitive bidding, and that issue will be disclosed in the single audit. And as mentioned previously, management has also reviewed this comment and responded accordingly, and that will be included in the single audit report. With respect to the the single audit in the context of the audit for this year, in fiscal year 11, last year's audit, there was one financial statement finding and two compliance findings, none of which was deemed to be a material weakness. In the current year, we did have four financial statement findings, two of which were material weaknesses, and the one compliance finding that I just reviewed. The remainder of these slides relate to required communications we're required to have with the audit committee with respect to the audit process. At the end of the day, as the auditor, we're working for the committee and exercising your fiduciary responsibilities with respect to the financial statements of the authority. On a day-to-day basis, we're not working with the committee members. We're working with management, IG staff, and so on in conducting that audit. As such, the standard setters have required that we communicate how the audit went, admittedly in very boilerplate language, but just explaining the audit process and any issues that we had with respect to the audit. Slide 15, the bolded headings, the things that we're required to cover, we're disclosing the fact that the auditor's responsibility under generally accepted auditing standards, the audit was performed in accordance with these standards. Just for the committee's benefit, just to keep in mind, we as the auditor also get audited. The Department of Transportation will review our audit work papers in the context of the single audit, so we're ensuring that we're complying with those standards. Significant issues discussed with management prior to retention. What this issue addresses is the idea of opinion shopping. We had a multi-year contract with you that was previously procured, went through the procurement process, so there were no issues discussed prior to retention, so that's not an issue. Consultations with other accountants. This would be if there was a dispute between management and ourselves and management brought on another accountant to debate that issue with us. That did not occur this year. The qualitative aspects of accounting practices. Basically, we're pointing out to the committee that management is responsible for the determination of appropriate accounting policies. We're just rendering an opinion on the validity of those policies and procedures. As I've previously stated, you have an unqualified opinion on the financial statements, so there weren't any significant issues with respect to the policies that we identified. Also, in relation to that, the financial statements do include certain estimates. And we look at the reasonableness of those estimates as part of the audit process. The four key areas that you all have estimates include deferred revenues, pension benefit assumptions, OPEB or pensions other than pension benefits that are provided by the authority, and liabilities for injury and damage claims. We as the auditor rely on other specialists and review their work in conjunction with the audit process to ensure that those amounts are properly recorded or the estimates are reasonable in conjunction with the financial statements. Difficulties encountered in performing the audit. We did have some delays this year in comparison to prior years. Most of these related to issues surrounding the upgraded system, users getting used to the new system, the ability to produce information with respect to the new system, and we've identified that as a resulting delay in the audit. We're still meeting the required deadlines with respect to the audit, but with respect to interim required meetings and just kind of having that cushion of time that we like to see and being able to issue, we did have some delays this year. The misstatements I previously reviewed, there was two corrected misstatements, the two audit adjustments I discussed, and the one uncorrected misstatement, which is the past adjustment that I discussed previously. And then the last thing we get from as far as the audit process is representations from management. This is kind of a last check, if you will. Management provides us a letter. It includes certain required parts with respect to auditing standards, but it's basically a representation from management that they've provided all the information necessary for us to complete and conclude on our audit, and that they're not aware of anything that would change our audit procedures or our ultimate conclusion. Management has provided that representation letter as part of the process. And then the last two on the last slide, disagreements with management. We did not have any disagreements, as I previously reported, management has responded to all the findings. They will be included in the single audit. I can tell you they've agreed with the comments, and my understanding is we'll make changes going forward. And then there's basically another category that we're required to communicate. I think I've covered everything in other sections that we would be required to communicate. So that's everything I have with respect to the audit process, but happy to answer any questions that anyone would have.
Thank you very much for your presentation, and thank you for your work. Before we turn to questions from the board members, let me ask Ms. Kissel to speak briefly, or as long as she'd like, with respect to the, from a management perspective on the audit, and then I'd like to ask Ms. Liu to comment briefly, and then the committee members will have discussion. But thank you very much.
Well, thank you. As Mike has indicated, we agree with the findings that they have come up with our financial statements. We're very pleased with actually the unqualified opinion. It meets our debt obligations, which we're required to meet at the end of this month, and so we would meet that obligation. The findings that he has come up with, they are good ones because they give us a path forward in terms of implementing another process to ensure that those things don't happen again. The one process that we will be implementing in will be quarterly closings throughout the year. Typically, we just do a financial close at the end of the year. But as a result of some of the findings and the recommendations, we actually see a lot of value doing a quarterly close. And so we will be implementing that, I think this January we'll do a half close in the second quarter. So actually that's very good. And I think the audit went very well, and I'm pleased to work with Clifton. It's their last year working with us, and so I appreciate the professionality that they've exhibited with our group and working with Helen and I on this. So.
Thank you very much. We'll come right back. I just want to ask Ms. Liu for comments, and then we'll take her questions.
Well, I just want to recognize that there were a lot of challenges this year, and I'm happy to hear that management agreed to all the recommendations. We look forward to working with management in the future taking the necessary corrective action and move forward. I also like to recognize the efforts of Mike Stevens and his staff working with us over the past 5 years. As Carol mentioned, this is their last year. And it's been a very good working relationship. I think they've identified areas that will help us move forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's start left to right. Any questions that the members of the committee might have?
Tom? Would you be so kind as to talk to the VC staff and Virginia staff about what qualified and unqualified terminology means after the meeting?
Oh, absolutely.
So, they're aware. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, since you've raised the question, I think it would be good to answer that now. Thank you for the discussion on time. No, I think it's important.
There's the OMB qualified statement on page 15 to 25.
Right.
And that's I understand that. And then on page 5, it's that you didn't have it on. Your auditor's opinion on financial statements was unqualified.
No, the question is an appropriate question, and I think we should answer it now. Thank you.
With respect to that, that's a definitional terminology within the standards. You can have basically four types of opinions with respect to the financial statements. Unqualified is basically saying that the statements are fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. The entire purpose of our audit ultimately is to render an opinion on the financial statements. So what we're saying is if it's unqualified, it's saying that the statements are fairly presented to what we're auditing to, and what we're auditing to is generally accepted accounting principles. You could have a qualified opinion. A qualified opinion basically is saying the statements are fairly presented except for something. That something could be one item or it could be multiple items. For example, we had some audit adjustments this year. Management had refused to record that adjustment for whatever reason, so that jurisdictional receivables were misstated. We would have had to qualify the report because that was a material misstatement with respect to the financial statements. You used an inappropriate policy with respect to depreciation that is not allowed under generally accepted accounting principles. If that resulted in a material difference, we would require to disclose that and qualify the opinion. The other two examples are extremely rare. The third one is what's called a disclaimer of opinion, and that's basically, quite frankly, where the auditor throws up his hands and says, I can't audit this. There's not enough information available, or we can't cover our testing sufficient to render an opinion, and therefore we're going to disclaim. And then the last one is even rarer. That's referred to as an adverse opinion. That's basically saying that, you know, the examples I gave for qualified multiplied out so that, you know, you have more issues such that the statements are actually misleading to the reader, the auditor would render an adverse opinion. Right. So if does that answer your question?
Thank you. Okay. And thanks for raising the question, too. I think that it's important, too, that we all understand the context of the comments. Sometimes we are glad that the comments are amplified because we distinguish ourselves from those amplifications. So that's a good thing. Thank you very much. Mr. Yule? Thank you very much. I'm sorry. Mr. Jinko?
Oh, I'm ready to make a motion to accept the resolution on the last page.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Let me then we will recommend this forward to the board for acceptance. I want to take a moment to thank you for your service for the past 5 years. It's an extraordinary effort to do this, and I know that this past year I had a tremendous number of challenges brought on because we are going through enormous change, enormous systems improvement, enormous investment in capital and infrastructure and management tools, building our staff top to bottom, training, and it brings enormous challenge to ensure that we're accountable for the process as we go through. At the end of the day, we'll all be better, but we better make sure that we're examining ourselves as we go through the process, and I think we've done an outstanding job of that. I appreciate it. This committee appreciates it, and let us move forward to the next step. Any other business to come before this committee?
Thank you.
Then I'm going to use my gavel and say adjourned.
Good.
Thank you.